You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today on The Grave Talks, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation, a conversation with medium and author Rob Guttrow. Imagine taking a vacation only to find that wherever you go, spirits are eager to share their stories with you. This is the reality for Rob Guttrow. His unique abilities bridge the living and spirit world. As an author, paranormal investigator, and medium, Rob has dedicated his life to unraveling the mysteries of the afterlife. What sets Rob apart is not just his ability to communicate with spirits, but he also draws on his background as a scientist and provides insightful explanations about how energy serves as the baseline for the afterlife and the medium through which entities communicate. In his series of books, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation, Rob takes readers to places like Tombstone, England, and Ireland, offering a unique blend of travel guides and ghostly encounters. He sheds light on the intricacies of the spirit world, distinguishing between earthbound ghosts and spirits who have crossed over. Today on The Grave Talks, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation, a conversation with medium and author Rob Guttrow. Full disclosure, I did a deep dive into your life and your books. You are really, really interesting to me. How many books have you written?
I've written 11 now.
And so there's a whole series on pets in the afterlife. And then the ones we're going to talk about today, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. So you've been to England, Ireland, the Birdcage Theater, which I've been fascinated by that place for some reason.
My third series is Ghosts versus Spirits.
That's what I also wanted to ask you about, because I think that's very interesting how you describe the difference between ghosts and spirits. I don't know how, if this is a whole episode in itself, the difference between the two, but the way that you explain it really makes sense to me.
One thing I've learned with the ability to communicate with people who passed, and pets who passed, is basically what happens after we die. And I'm also, because I'm a scientist, I have to explain everything in terms of energy. So that's a really critical cornerstone of the paranormal. And I found that the physical energies within us, if you think of cell splitting and blood pumping and thoughts that are little electrical impulses, that energy has to go somewhere because of a law we have in science called the law of conservation of energy. So it couples with our memories, our personality, and the knowledge of this life we live. And once we get to that point, we have a quick life review. What we did in life that was good, that was bad, and so forth. Then we make a decision. We decide either to cross over into the light, the other side, heaven, whatever you want to call it, or we choose to stay earthbound at a fixed location that we're familiar with or where we die. And I call that a ghost. So a spirit's one that crossed over. A ghost is one that chooses to stay earthbound. And they're both the same energy. It's just about the location in which they choose to spend their afterlife. They use different energies to get strong enough to communicate with us.
So with a ghost, is it really a choice sometimes, you think? Do you think that sometimes it could have something to do with unfinished business or confusion even? Maybe you passed very quickly and you're not sure what happened. Do you think that can influence it?
Yes, absolutely. So that's why hospitals are haunted and psychiatric hospitals are haunted and prisons and battlefields, because people don't realize that they were suddenly killed, and they kind of wake up as energy on the other side, and they're confused as to where they are and why they're there. And when they linger too long, they get stuck.
And if you linger too long and you're lucky enough to have someone like you come along who can help them cross over possibly, mm-hmm. because really what is time in the afterlife? I remember my dad and I had deep discussions about this before he passed, about the whole energy, just like you just said.
Interesting.
Is time meaningful? Can you come along 100 years after someone's passed and help them?
And the answer I found is yes. So time really is not relevant on the other side. Time is really a physical thing. And I explain it scientifically this way. Here on Earth, it takes 365 days to comprise a year. If you're on Saturn, it takes 29 Earth years to make 1 year on Saturn. So time is really relevant to where you are in the physical. But the other side seems timeless. However, the caveat to that is that Earthbound ghosts can see things change around them over time. Mm. So they don't know that the time is different other than things that have changed in their environment. So if they stay in a house that they died in back in the 1600s, they may see changes happening in the house, but they still won't know what year it is.
And that could also be why they are very bothered by maybe when you're remodeling the house, because you're changing what they're familiar with.
Absolutely.
Now, how in the world... because I'm always fascinated when I talk to someone who's a medium. How did you ever realize that you had a unique ability? Was it something that came on gradually in your life, or was it something that you kind of always knew but didn't know what it was? Or maybe you didn't even know you were different. I mean, as a kid, you might have abilities you think everybody has.
Yeah, there were two sudden instances, Carol. The first instance happened when I was about 13 years old, and my grandfather, who had died 7 months before, suddenly appeared to me in full color, and he scared the daylights out of me. I remember when my parents finally came home, I talked to both of them about it, and I told them what happened. And my mother said, sit down. We need to discuss things. I have the ability, but I'm afraid to use it. Your grandfather had that ability. It runs on my side of the family.
That's so really interesting to me.
Yes. And then, so I shelved it for quite a long time. And in 2005, I had a puppy named Buzz, and he was tragically killed by a car in front of me when his leash opened.
Oh my God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
Yeah, it was.
Can't imagine.
But Buzz blew the doors off my abilities, and he taught me not only how pets communicate, but also how people communicate. So, and as someone who used to journal everything, those became the basis of my books. And I wanted to teach people how their loved ones, whether human or animal, in spirit, communicate with us from the other side so they can look for signs too.
How did you get a sign from your dog? What was it that, because I feel like you can learn so much from animals. And how?
Oh gosh.
How did you get that sign?
So I give an hour-long lecture about this to animals.
Okay, so that will be our next episode, actually.
That sounds good. So there are a whole bunch of different ways. I mean, I've seen him. I've heard him. I've heard his bark. I've heard his nails on the floor. He's moved things in front of me. And the list goes on and on.
Do you still feel him several years later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All four of my dogs who have passed still keep coming through. And I can't wait to tell you all of the different ways that they've been able to do that.
Oh, I can't wait to have this conversation too. I'm a big pet person, as are you. So that'll mm-hmm. be a really interesting conversation. But today we're going to talk about the ghosts on a medium's vacation. I got to thinking about this whole concept of this series of books, mm-hmm. which is really interesting to me how you would experience a vacation as a medium, because I would imagine there are ways, I don't know because I'm sensitive, but I'm not a medium. I would imagine there are ways you can kind of, I don't know, turn on, turn off seems too simple, but maybe ways that you can kind of control it, what comes through, so you can maybe go someplace and not have ghosts all around you. Or do they just kind of come in and you don't have a way to turn that on and off?
Sure. So I normally I can when I'm consciously aware of it or if I'm sick. For instance, in 2016, we took a vacation to Italy and I had a severe impacted sinus infection the entire trip. And I could not pick up any people from the other side. But normally I can basically put a shell of positive energy around me and block things out. But when I'm on vacation, I'm just interested in seeing the new place and learning the history and exploring. And my guard was down. And as a result, I wound up talking to dead people from various centuries.
That's what I think would be so interesting, because that you could pick up on somebody, especially in England and Ireland and Italy, like you could be Italy, this is BC, and actually even Ireland, you know, there's some really old spirits in some really old locations. And I would almost think it would be kind of a little difficult maybe to communicate with them in some ways.
Yes, absolutely. One of the places we went in Ireland is called Newgrange, and it predates the Egyptian pyramids by 400 years.
See, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that till I read the book.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and Newgrange was a tomb, really. So nobody haunts a tomb, and nobody haunts a cemetery either. And the reason I found that is because we only really stay behind in places we're familiar with or where we died. That's why cemeteries really aren't haunted. And nobody was in this tomb either in Newgrange, Ireland. I will say, though, that if you are at a cemetery and you are paying tribute to a loved one, and you're at their grave and you're saying a prayer or putting flowers or something, their spirit is drawn to you because they are drawing on the energy of love, the emotional energy of love, and they can appear to you in various ways. One woman who lost her son in Iraq went to his gravesite, and she said that out of nowhere came a swarm of dragonflies that lingered over his grave, and dragonflies were his favorite thing. He had a tattoo of dragonfly on his arm before he died. So that was his sign.
And you had one in the book about butterflies.
Yes, and that was for my dog, Sprite.
So, that was so sweet.
I will be happy to talk to you about that one.
In our next.
In the next one. But Sprite did let me know that he was with us on vacation in Ireland.
Which I thought was really special. So it's not just that you can connect with people in a certain place. Although, I do think sometimes the place can help you focus. So at a cemetery is a good example because it's going to be quiet. You're there to pay respects. You're in a different state of mind. So I could see how you could have a deeper connection. As a medium over the years, did you have to do some things to kind of hone your craft? Or for someone like you, and obviously it's generational, is this just something that you don't even have to hone? It just is part of who you are.
It is part of who I am, but I'm also a scientist. So it was important for me to prove what I was hearing. So what I did right after after my puppy passed and I met my now husband, we would go to historic places. And as soon as I got in the front door, I would be able to communicate with somebody who passed away. And then I would go talk to the house historian. And I wound up confirming everything I got. And it was mind-blowing to me. But that helped me understand that this gift really is real.
Did your husband kind of go, what have I gotten myself into? Or is he kind of in tune to that as well? I could see how that could scare someone or attract someone.
Well, there were a lot of eye rolls, I'll tell you, for the first couple of years. But then he became sensitive to a point. Not to the point I am, but and we're both paranormal investigators on the same team.
Are you still on the paranormal investigative team?
So we do it remotely with them. But since we moved north to New England, we will go to different places ourselves, and we actually feed off each other, and we can confirm things that we both get at the same time.
That's cool, actually. Yeah. I love that because when it comes through and someone else is confirming it, that is powerful. That's very powerful.
Yes. So in my medium's vacation books, it was so important for me to confirm the identities of the ghosts that I encountered. In the Ghost of England book, for instance, we stayed at a place called Thornbury Castle. It's a Tudor era castle that was taken over by Henry VIII because the gentleman that owned the castle back in the 1500s was a threat to his throne. So he beheaded him, and then he took his cat.
As he did.
So Thornbury Castle lay in ruins. It was a castle that was never totally finished. And you'll see, if you go there, you'll see many walls that were just standing, never got completed. But there were two main parts of the castle that were completed. And long story short, it's now a bed and breakfast. When we walked into our room, I sensed immediately there was a man standing right there behind the door. And I said to him, I know you're here, and I would like you to please not wake us up until the sun rises. Once we turned in, I forgot in like late May that the sun rises at 5 a.m. in England. And this ghost, whom I found out his name was Rupert, and I found his whole identity when I got home, This ghost unlatched a locked iron grate over the window and slammed it open at 5 a.m. when the sun rose. Scared the heck out of me.
Yeah.
And it turned out this guy, and he gave me the name Rupert when I was in the shower, because water is energy, and that helped him get strong enough to convey things. And when I got home, I looked for a Rupert that was in that area at that time, and I found out he was a prince, and he was in battle at that time. And there's a much bigger story there, but needless to say, I proved his identity, and that was important.
Is it ever... You know, because to me, if I walked in and I had that kind of feeling, and then that would happen with a window at a time I said, please, I want to get a good night's sleep, wait till the sun comes up, and then that would happen, I think I'd be checking out. I don't think I could stay there. This sounds like such a stupid question, but how do you keep from getting scared?
Well, they're just people.
Okay.
And you know, or just people and just pets. And you know, I asked him kindly to not wake us up until the sun rose, and he waited until the sun rose. So,
and then scared the crap out of you.
I was just not too bright to know that the sun was rising at 5 o'clock in the morning in England at that time.
So the next night you said, please wait until 8 a.m. our time here locally.
And, well, we only stayed one night.
Okay, I was going to say, and just a gentle tap on the shoulder is fine. You don't have to go to all that trouble. I will wake up.
Yeah, bring me tea, please.
that would be delightful. Do you go on vacation sometimes? Like, you two just need to get away. It would be fun to go to Chicago. And then you get to Chicago and then you're bombarded. Is that a problem sometimes for you? Or do you just kind of go with it?
Nope, just go with it.
Kind of have to. Yeah.
And I really take pity on these people that choose to stay earthbound as a ghost, because I liken that to choosing a life of being in hell. A hell. It really is hell, because when you think about it, it's like being in an isolation prison cell that only if you're lucky enough that a medium walks by, you'll be able to communicate. Because earthbounds cannot communicate with spirit. That's crossed over. They know they're there, but they can't communicate. They can't get help. So I don't mind listening to their story and trying to help them and guide them into the light if I can. But so here's the thing I've recently figured out. It's about energy. When we first pass, we have a lot of that physical energy. And earthbound ghosts and spirits are like a battery. Over time, that energy wanes. But you need a lot of energy to open the doorway to the other side to cross over. So earthbound ghosts don't have it after a while. And that's why they need a number of paranormal investigators to pool their emotional energies to open a doorway to the other side. That's why ghosts can't cross by themselves.
I want to talk about one ghost you encountered who did not want to cross necessarily. And she was... And I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, in Ireland, Dromoland Castle. And you encountered the ghost of a woman. She was perfectly happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about her?
Sure. Yeah, I call her the ghostess.
Ghostess. Yes, I liked that.
It was kind of weird. So for the folks that don't know, Dromoland is a castle in the 5th century. And it's in County Clare. If you're keeping tabs about where these are, the building stands as on its original site, and it's now a bed and breakfast, just like Thornbury Castle in the UK. Encounter happened when I was walking on one of the floors. We were looking for the way to get downstairs into the dining area, and I sensed that there was somebody coming, walking down the hallway toward me. So, you know, as usual, you would just turn and look to see who it is. Well, there was a woman and she was in 1800s dress. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. It must be an employee that's, you know, they dress in 1800s garb. But then she walked through a closed door.
Okay. Not an employee.
Not an employee. Well, no. So I realized, of course, she was a ghost. And
She looked like she was in her 50s and 60s. She was kind of slender. She wore this satin gown. I think it's satin. It was blue. And there was a tab collar. And I sketched her out. So one of the things I do in my books sometimes is I will sketch out the ghost that I see. And you'll find her in the book. And mm-hmm. in The Ghost of Ireland, I did something also unique from the other books. And that is, when I was in Ireland, I was smart enough to, after I saw a ghost or encountered one, I made a short 30 to 60 second video on location and showed the area. So those links in all those chapters will take you to those videos. If you're reading this on Kindle, you can click on it and we'll open the video. You'll see where I'm looking.
Yeah, because I was reading it on my phone and it is fun. You just click there. Okay, there's the video he's talking about. And then you go right back to your book. I thought it was awesome.
Thank you. I wanted these books to be a guide, a tour guide for people who are interested in the history, but also in the hauntings.
Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because it kind of makes you, because I'm reading this book, thinking back to a trip I took to Ireland, went to several of these same places, but had no idea. Now it'd be fun to go back knowing these stories. It would make it very interesting, I think.
Sure. I mean, so my vacations are always doubly interesting. They're not only historically interesting, but when I encounter earthbound ghosts from different time periods, it can be totally fascinating because they'll sometimes tell me their story or who they are or why they're there. One of the most interesting ghosts I ever met on a vacation was George Boleyn. Are you familiar with George Boleyn?
As in Anne's brother?
Yes, okay. Anne's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Henry VIII's second wife. I think she was the second wife.
Yeah, I think she was the second wife. What's interesting is Hever Castle in England, I didn't know anything about England. And let me just preface this by saying I don't arrange the trips. My husband Tom arranges all the trips. And he works with a travel agent, Across the Pond Vacations, who does a great job putting these things together. And so he has an interest in the Tudor period and Henry VIII and all that. And he put this trip together. He also put the Ireland trip together. I didn't know where we were going. I was just like, okay, you do it. I'm busy, you know, doing other stuff. So I knew nothing about the history of any of these places. Long story short, we went to Hever Castle, and it's about 30 miles southeast of London. When we got into the front door, suddenly I heard a man standing behind me say, "My name is George." I looked, and of course, there was nobody behind me. And I turned to Tom, and I said, "There's a male ghost here, and his name is George. Does that mean anything to you?" And Tom said, "Sure. Yeah, this is Hever Castle. This is the home of the Boleyn family. George is Anne Boleyn's brother. He was beheaded by Henry VIII.
Well, because there's a little history there that I think Henry VIII made up. Isn't it George that he accused Anne of having incestuous relations with?
Yes. Yeah. You know, see, you know your history. That is so awesome.
Well, I'm particularly fascinated by British history. I don't know why, but I am.
You'll find the Ghost of England fascinating because it's
full of
history. I
can't wait.
Yeah. So George, this was unique, Carol, because George decided that he was going to walk us through the castle and tell us what happened in different rooms. Oh, and when I came home, I proved everything he told me, and it just was astounding.
Now, when this is happening in the moment, are you kind of mm-hmm. taking notes? Or are you pretty good mm-hmm. about remembering it so you can go home and research?
No, I'm old. I write everything down in a journal when I'm traveling. So that way I don't forget.
So what kinds of things did you find out? Because now I'm really fascinated by that. Like,
sure.
George Boleyn was your tour guide. That's crazy.
So you know, I didn't know anything about him or whatever. I didn't know any of the history of him other than after I came back and found out. He told me a year, 1532. And he said, I was very proud of my sister in 1532. So I wrote that down in my little book. And I'm like, 1532. I mean, how old was he then? I have no idea. No idea. So when I got home, my research revealed that on September 1st, 1532, the king bestowed on Anne, his sister, the title of Marquess of Pembroke. With this title, she became a royal. So no wonder he was proud of her in 1532. That blew me away.
That's amazing. That whole story, I guess, I can't think of a better word, of the Boleyns, it's so tragic because I've never believed for a minute that he and his sister had incestuous relationships. I think Henry was just looking for a way to get rid of her and had to accuse her of something horrific so he could move on to his next love interest.
Sure. And he feared that George would kill him, which is why he also beheaded George and why he made up that.
And I think Henry VIII was very paranoid. I mean, I think a lot of kings and, you know, the higher up in the courts, they would all be pretty paranoid. I'd be paranoid just being there because you don't know what Henry's going to do next. There's one thing that you wrote down that actually applies to this. I thought it was very interesting. You said, being a medium is like being a detective because you're given puzzle pieces from a ghost, George, that you must put together to develop a comprehensive picture of the former person.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting. I never really thought about it like that, but this is the perfect example of it. That
and I go through this every time I encounter a ghost.
And so then you can go home and do research.
Yes. I feel like one of my favorite TV figures, Jessica Fletcher, on Murder, She Wrote. But I have to try and figure out.
No, it's Ghosts, She Wrote. It's really interesting. You know, I think just going on a fun vacation for you has this whole other side of it. Once you get home, you have to research everything that you learned while you were there.
It does. It does. And so there are a couple of things that happen after I get home from vacation. Not only do I journal everything and I sketch out ghosts that I've encountered when I'm there, and now I do little videos so that I have them. I also, I have a personal blog too, and I put all this stuff up there about travel, and the ghosts become a totally separate thing. It really is a fascinating way to look at a different place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not just a different place, but it's a different place in time.
You know,
there's a physical location, but then with this, you're also kind of going to a different time because who you met on vacation isn't anyone I'm going to meet.
Right. So George Boleyn was from the 1500s. The woman in Ireland in Dromoland Castle was from the 1800s.
And is it really different to communicate like with George as opposed to the ghostess? Is it different when the, you know, or maybe even somebody more contemporary who's passed? Does the information kind of come in the same to you in the time period? Doesn't matter so much?
It really depends on the personality of the ghost and the personality of the person that the ghost is. So some of them freely offer information. George was very courteous. He was very helpful. The ghostess didn't seem to want anything to do with me because she walked through the door and walked the other way. Maybe she was interested in haunting somebody that was in a particular room. That's why I say they're really just people that have passed away. And they all have their same personalities. I mean, I always tell people that if you were nice in life, you're going to be nice in death. If you were a jerk in life, you're going to be a jerk in death until you cross over.
And I would think a lot of those people who have had rather I don't know, the only word I
They were not nice people.
Yes, thank you. The only word that was coming in my brain was pervy. But if you were that type of person, I would think it would be hard to just pass on and cross over because there's a lot of anger towards you and, you know, you've done some horrific things that people haven't forgiven you for, or, you know, there's just a number of things I could see that would keep you here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons why my ghost will stay. So, for instance, the ghostess that I met in Ireland, she loved that castle because she lived there. Same thing with George Boleyn. He loved Hever Castle. That was his boyhood home. So he wanted to stay there. But conversely, that's why prisons are full of ghosts. When we realize how we lived our life, we may suddenly fear crossing over. You know, some religions will talk about, well, they'll teach you that hell exists and you're going to be burning in damnation forever and forever. All the spirits that I talked to that have crossed over on the other side have never said that there is such a place. What they've said is that there are three levels of the afterlife, and people choose which one they want to go in, and based on the way they live their life. And there's nothing but peace and forgiveness on the other side. Hell is being an earthbound ghost trapped in a place where you can't communicate with anybody for eternity. And I've found that people who have made mistakes in life and dwell on them may choose to stay earthbound as a ghost because they fear what's on the other side. I've also found that people who are very devout in their religion, very conservative in their religions, tend to be more fearful of the other side once they get their life review. What's sad is that there's nothing but peace and forgiveness and love on the other side. And 99.5% of pets will cross over because they sense everything's good and peaceful on the other side.
Do you think that some people don't feel that they're worthy of that?
I do. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Can you help someone like that cross over?
Well, it's really kind of depending if they want to sell it.
That's interesting. You've got to sell it to them. Like, here are the benefits.
Yeah, you really do. And, you know, you have to earn their trust. And you know how hard it is to earn the trust of someone you just met. And that's really what paranormal investigators are doing who want to help somebody cross over.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
I'm glad I'm making some sense for you tonight.
That does. That makes a lot of sense to me. And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Rob Guttrow about his book series, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. You can get his books on Amazon or go to his website, robguttrow.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, you'll get everything commercial free by becoming a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.